You are now listening to the Jay Porks Experience. Now, here's Jay!
Yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Experience. I'm Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody. What goes on this week? How do you like the sweaters? Do you like it? I told you. Told you winter was coming. And it's not fun. It's not fun to walk around my nipples hard for the next 10 months. But I digress. Because there are a lot worse things. There are a lot worse things for you in society happening right now than weather. And we're going to get to some of them. One of them is, this is just crazy. Facebook has unveiled that they're working on a dislike button. So you'd think that everyone, yeah, all right, dislike. I can't wait to dislike things. No, before we start disliking things, every show across America that panders to idiotic old women who sit home and do nothing but watch soap operas and daytime television, this is feeding their fear of society even more. I heard Sharon Osbourne. I passed by the TV. I don't know if it's the Chew, the View, the Shoe. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I get stupider every time I pass by the television that my mother has it on. I pass by, I see Sharon Osbourne, wife of Ozzy, talking about how, well, you know what the dislike button's going to do? All it's going to do is give people more ways to be hateful to one another on the internet, on Facebook. People are just going to be hateful to one another. And not only are they going to leave hateful comments, but they're going to dislike you. It's just more reasons for people to be mean to each other. Your husband bit the head off of a bat at a record signing or whatever. Are you joking? First of all, I don't want to hear the moral standard from Sharon fucking Osbourne, okay? I get it that you figured out a way that you can be famous too. I get it. But your husband once bit the head off of a bat. You can't sit, now she's going to decide what's morally acceptable for you and I on the internet that she doesn't even fucking use. Meanwhile, that's the running theme. The running theme is it's going to give, the dislike button will give people more chances to be hateful towards each other on Facebook. It's the downfall of society. Or it's a button. See, when you say the phrasing of it's going to give people more opportunities to be hateful towards each other on Facebook, if you replace Facebook with internet and hateful with how they act anyway, then yeah, that's a valid argument. I can understand if the internet was filled with rainbows and marshmallows. The internet is 96% hating things. Okay, maybe my math is a little wrong. If it'll be 90% hating things, 7% porn, and the other three miscellaneous. That's what the internet is for. Now, I'm not saying that the internet is a place where you go and you look for trouble, but that's how it is. Whether it's a message board, whether you're watching a YouTube video and you scroll down into the comments, you're being hateful towards somebody, whether you know it or not. Like, for instance, I put something on my Facebook a couple of days ago. Nobody liked it. I consider that being hateful. Fuck you guys. Nobody uses Facebook anymore? No one's gonna like that shit? So the non-like, might as well just have a dislike. Why is it so wrong for us to be able to express our feelings. First of all, when somebody's grandma dies, I don't want to like the status, and I don't want to ignore it. So what do? Right? That's what the dislike button's for. I just got robbed on the train. Dislike. Not everything is good. Facebook is full of bad things. Most people don't go on Facebook to say, oh, I had a great fucking day today. Most people go on Facebook to say, this sucks and here's why. You want us to like that? We're supposed to click like? What, you can't find your dog? I'm supposed to like that? I don't like that. I think that's sad. And I want you to find your puppy. The fodder for news. I don't understand how shows... They have television shows where there's just four people talking about shit? I mean, listen. When Bill Maher has a show, he's got pundits on. People who are smart, who have differing opinions. The Chew, or The View, or The Who, or The... I don't know what it was. What do I care if Sharon... What did Sharon Osbourne and her friends think? Like, people watch that show saying, oh, wow. What's Sharon got to say today? I don't even know who else is on that show. It's not even The Chew, The View, or The Shoe, or The Blue. It's The Talk. The Talk. And she's on that show with Sarah Gilbert, who is the chick from Roseanne, the daughter, the badass daughter, not the slutty daughter who got replaced three times, the badass daughter. And Julie Chen? I'm pretty sure Julie Chen is like married to the guy who runs CBS. Anyway, so Sharon Osbourne is going to tell me why I can't dislike a post. And I think that that's stupid. And I think that that's ridiculous. And I think that people are overthinking things a little too much. And it's Facebook. Now, if you wanted to argue that they shouldn't have a dislike button in real life, like, would you rather me dislike your post on Facebook? Or would you rather me come up to you and say, fuck you? I mean, what causes more trouble? The face-to-face confrontation, in my mind, would be what I think would cause more issues. That's what I would think would cause more of a dilemma. There are real problems. It's such a first-world problem, a dislike button. I mean, I don't know if anyone saw the new South Park, but a lot of you need to get your privilege checked. Such a first-world problem. Anyway, moving on from the dislike button. By the way, I like the dislike button, so I want to have it. And I think it can't get here fast enough, and I think Zuckerberg is pretty rad. Why is Mark Zuckerberg like the enemy? First of all, did anybody see The Social Network? All right. If I ever eventually get around to it, which I will do, I've got like 20 or 30 movies that are like the Jay Porks Movie Club. And The Social Network is one of those movies that I can watch over and over again and think they're cooler every time I watch them. The Social Network is one of the... Listen, a lot of people are going to tell me that that's such a boring movie, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I don't care. It's awesome, and every time I watch it, I want to jump out the window and start my own fucking social network. Every time I watch that movie, I think, why did I not do this? Why am I not famous? Why don't I go to shows and write reviews and try to post them on a website called ConcertConfessions.com, which is live music news and reviews for the fans, by the fans? Why don't I do that? Oh, I did do that, but I don't have a fancy degree. And I don't know web stuff. I don't know web code. But anyway, if there was ever like a Jay Parks Movie Club, The Social Network would be on the list. Without a doubt. Great fuckable. So why does everyone hate Mark Zuckerberg? This kid... All he's done is made, dude, he's made life so much easier. For instance, if I had my eighth grade yearbook, which I don't know where it is, hidden somewhere, if I had it, I would be able to friend request all the hot girls who wouldn't give me the time of day in 1999. Do you realize how powerful that is? Do you realize how powerful it is to be able to search on Facebook for that girl who told you to go fuck yourself in 1999, lose 115 pounds, and then send that friend request? Other people don't want to do that? What about the other day when I was at work and we had a reservation and I didn't know who it was? Bang, plugged the last name into Facebook. I knew it was an old lady who I didn't want. Pass the buck to Matt. Matt, you want to take that table? Sure. Okay. Ha ha ha. Because all I needed to do was go on Facebook and see married and I'm out. I'm good. No, thank you. Does me no good. First world problems. A dislike button is first world problem. And I gotta say, Tuesday night was eventful. Tuesday night was another rockin' pasta night at Primo Pizza. I'm always rocking. We know that. I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you that I was rocking. We know I was rocking. But as I go to the front, and I notice that there's a big plane on the screen. I look closer. It's the Republican debate. It's the GOP debate. And I have to tell you, as funny as Twitter was on Tuesday night with jokes about how stupid all of those candidates were, all of every single one without the exception of one, every single one was a piece of shit, and every single one embarrassed America, and every person who was watching it was tweeting along snarky things. Was tweeting along things like, oh man. Like this. I retweeted one. Well, Ann Coulter was like, How many fucking Jews do they think there are in this country? Nice job, Ann Coulter. I'll tell you how many Jews are in this country. Enough for you to be looking for another job pretty soon. You know what, Fox, they don't use the refrigerator, they just use Ann Coulter to keep things cold? Bang. Thank you, Peter Griffin. The Republican frontrunner is now flirting with fascism and ethnic cleansing. But hey, keep those cameras rolling. Great ratings! That's exactly what it is. Everybody is watching the GOP like it's a fucking comedy, when in reality, it's reality. It's not going to be so funny when one of those fucking fascist fucks is the president of the United States. One of those clowns is going to be running this circus. I'm not going to go through all the candidates here, but Jeb Bush's father started ISIS. Chris Christie is a fat piece of garbage who doesn't want to allow epileptic children to get medical marijuana that they need. He says America has an addiction problem, yet he's over 300 pounds, hence proving this addiction problem we have. Maybe our leaders shouldn't be addicted to eating. And you got, what you have is, you have a whole bunch, you have like 10 people who would rather put women on money than give women equal money as what they make. Like, they were talking about putting, what's her fucking name? Margaret Thatcher. They were going to put Margaret Thatcher on the $10 bill. They want to put Margaret Thatcher on the $10 bill. Wrong with that? What's wrong with that, you might ask? Well, she's not even American. She was the British Prime Minister and the leader of the Conservative Party in the UK from 1975 to 1990. What does that have to do with America? What a way to dodge the fucking the real issue. Why do women make 70 cents to a guy's dollar? Why is that? I know it's not in my line of work. My line of work, I don't have boobs. I can't show them off. I don't get bigger tips. But in the real world, in corporate society, why do people who work for Donald Trump, why do women who work for Donald Trump get 70 cents for every dollar that a man who works for Donald Trump gets? But instead of addressing that issue, and they had a woman up there, they had one of the chicks up there. She didn't say, hey, equal rights for women. No, they didn't say that. Yeah, Margaret Thatcher on the $10 bill. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to go to this. The one female who was up there had to make herself fucking stupid. All right. So last night during the debate, this is somebody else's status. I'm just sharing the post because I shared it on my Facebook. So last night during the debate, the beautiful Carly Farina shared how she lost a kid to drug addiction during a discussion about marijuana and took a stand against drug abuse. Now, a quick Google search shows that her stepdaughter died from alcohol and prescription drug abuse, as well as complications from bulimia. So, is it safe to assume that if elected, Farina will go after the drug companies who create these highly addicting pills that leave so many dead? Or shall we just assume that, like so many other politicians, she will turn a blind eye to the pharmaceutical companies and instead go after recreational drug users who can't write the same size checks that companies like Pfizer does so often? Fair or foul, Carly? Took a stand against drug abuse when her stepdaughter died from alcohol and prescription drug abuse. Two things that not only are legal, always were legal, except for that one year that booze wasn't legal. But it's the marijuana that's got to stop. Meanwhile, I don't, you know how many pounds it takes for you to fucking die? You have to smoke like 1,500 pounds in 15 minutes to die from pot. I can't smoke 1,500 pounds in 1,500 days. I probably couldn't smoke that in 15 years. During the debate, Trump wants to make America great again. So I walked to the front and he says, first day, all the immigrants go back. Day one, you're not going to like balance the economy, not going to address global warming, we're going right after immigrants. Who's building your hotel? Because I doubt that every construction worker building a Trump Plaza hotel casino thing, I doubt they're all documented workers. I'm just saying. Like, we can laugh about it all. It's funny to laugh if they weren't going to win. But you people aren't going to vote for Hillary because she was fucking sending an email. Are you kidding me? Think about this for a second. Who remembers Bill Clinton? I do. What was the biggest scandal that happened during Bill Clinton's presidency? Did any planes fly into buildings? Did the economy crash? Did unemployment reach all-time lows? Did the housing market crumble? No. What Bill Clinton did was got a blowjob in the White House. That's literally the worst thing he did. Everything else, I'm Bubba. Bill Clinton was a great president, okay? Now, the only thing we could hope for, since there's term limits, it's not like the city of New York where Michael Bloomberg could just get reelected 5 times. The closest thing to getting Bill Clinton back in the White House would be to elect Hillary. Because when Bill, first of all, in a marriage, who makes the decisions? Does the dude make the decisions or does the wife make the decisions? The wife makes the decisions. The wife runs the show. Happy wife, happy life. It's not happy husband. See? Nothing rhymes with husband because it doesn't matter. It's happy wife, happy life. So do you think Bill Clinton was working on foreign policy, or do you think he was playing a saxophone getting blowjobs? I'm going to have to go with the latter. I think Hillary was walking around her pantsuit rocking. The thing about being a... First of all, I know like politician's a bad word, but let me explain something to you. I'm not a smart guy, okay? I swear to you. I swear to God I'm not a smart guy. But here's the thing. When you elect a president, he needs to have people agree with him. Not agree with him, but go along with his plan. The problem with Barack Obama's presidency is that Barack Obama says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And people in Congress are like, fuck you, Muslim. You're not doing that. Where's your birth certificate? I mean, instead of just do it, they'd rather check if he was born in Kenya. Who the fuck cares? See, now what you need a career politician like Hillary, because she will get in office and say, I'm doing this. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, yeah? Remember those pictures I have of you fucking that young chick in the She's got fucking shit. People owe her favors. People owe Hillary favors because she's been a politician for 30 years. She has dirt on all these people. Yeah, Bill Clinton's the only one that got a blowjob. Right. They were probably running trains on hookers. And she's probably got them all on video. All pictures. And she's going to get things done. I know that I should be supporting in a Bernie Sanders type for weed, to get weed legal. But I'll be honest with you, Bernie Sanders has no shot. I wish he did, because he's got his own money, but he has zero chance. Because people say that he has dual citizenship with Israel. I don't know if that's true. I don't really care. I don't think that has anything to do with it. All I know is I'm not hiring a hotel Mongol to fucking run my country, if it was me. But the best thing to happen during the debate was I'm on Twitter and I see Sean Waltman, X-Pac, the 1-2-3 kid, former WWE superstar, the guy who beat Razor Ramon twice. Sean Waltman, X-Pac, is live tweeting along with the debate. Like, he's smarter than he looks. I mean, I was laughing at first. Who needs to watch the debates? I'll get running commentary from X-Pac. Then X-Pac was actually making a lot of sense. X-Pac had some good thoughts going, and he made a lot of sense, and he didn't sound at all stupid. So then I tweeted at Kennedy. Remember Kennedy from MTV? All right. She has a show on Fox Business. I know. It's crazy. It's weird. It's very strange. Very strange. Kennedy has a show on Fox Business. So, I tweeted at X-Pac. You know who Kennedy should have on a show? X-Pac. Motherfucker retweets it with a thumbs up emoji. The 1-2-3 kid is tweeting at me? Is retweeting me? That's awesome. That's incredible. That is the winner right there. Winner, winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I was like, holy shit. X-Pac. Man. All right, you know what? Wow. I didn't think it was going to go that long. All right, we'll get to the headlines when we come back after this.
Hey everybody, this is Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Parks Experience. If you want to learn more about Jay, follow him on Twitter @JayParks. Follow him on Instagram @JayParks. jporks.com for the podcast, articles, pictures, you name it. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks. So for 2015, if you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to theandydareshow.com and click on the Amazon banner, and you will be tipping your cap to the Jay Porks experience and all the fine broadcasting here at Dare Network. Thanks for listening, and back to the Jay Porks experience.
And we are back. Margaret Thatcher. And listen, before, I mean, you guys might think in your mind, you know, Jay, that's funny, but there's no way that the American public would actually elect Donald Trump as president. We're talking about the same country that elected Ronald Reagan as president, so it doesn't get stupider than that. You elect George Bush is the closest thing to a person with autism running the country than anything I've ever even seen in my life. But I'm going to digress. I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up. Because every week, folks, the headlines be powered by Antiquiet. Antiquiet.com is your source for quality over at Antiquiet.com right now. You've got highlights and photos from Riot Fest Chicago. It did not rain. And it's a nice little write-up about it with some awesome photos at antiquiet.com. Sorry. What else is going on here? You know what else happened that's really overhyped? The Ryan Adams Taylor Swift 1989 cover album came out. Now, if you guys want to go listen to that, I will supply you with the link. I'm sure it's good, but I kind of wanted it 2 weeks ago. I've kind of been hearing talk about it for 2 weeks, and now I'm kind of like, well, do I really want to rush and listen to this? You've kind of been talking about it a long time, and I've been waiting, and then where is it? So now it's here. I don't know if it's free or not, stream-wise. I'll send you I'll get you the link to wherever it's going to be. I haven't even clicked to look yet. But when I do, it will be in the notes as you're listening to this. You're probably wondering what made Ryan Adams want to cover Taylor Swift. Well, same thing that makes Taylor Swift want to sing her own songs. It was a breakup. And I'll read it to you from RollingStone.com. Last Christmas, Ryan Adams was, in his own words, a little lost. He'd wrapped up one leg of a tour supporting a self-titled album, and he and his wife Mandy Moore had just separated. I'd just gone through some life changes, and it would be the first Christmas and New Year's I'd spend by myself in over 5 years, he recalls. And I thought, what the fuck am I going to do? Chilling out on his tour bus, Adams would read or fixate on the same album so many others were obsessing over at the time, Taylor Swift's 1989. Let's just add to that sentence, so many other 15-year-old girls were obsessing over. I was listening to that record and thinking, I hear more, he says. Not that anything was missing. I would just think about the sentiments and the songs and the configurations. During his lonely Christmas break, Adams had what he calls a weird idea. Buying a four-track cassette recorder, he decided to recut Swift's new songs in his style. It wasn't like I wanted to change them because they needed changing, but I knew if I sang them from my perspective and in my voice, they would transform. I thought, let me record 1989 like it was Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. For several days, Adams did just that, reconfiguring Swift's songs as stark voice guitar harmonica remakes. The experiment didn't last long. 4 songs in, the recorder malfunctioned and devoured the mangled tape. But the idea of recasting the entire 1989 stayed with Adams. This past August, he tried again, this time with fellow musicians in a full-on studio. And the second time around, Adams made it all the way through his complete same sequence remake of 1989. It's not a reimagining or reconstruction at all. It's a parallel universe. It's a parallel universe. That's how I think of it. We're creating an alternate universe like in Marvel Comics. So Ryan Adams got broken up with and he covered Taylor Swift. Cool. And I will listen to it one day. What about the Foo Fighters? Foo Fighters back in the news. That's right, folks. Dave Grohl said, hey, you're not looking at me. Dave Grohl says that Fox nixed the Foo Fighters' Sonic Highways performance. We were supposed to play the Emmys, and we were going to play the Emmys. And then they kicked us off, Dave Grohl says. Sunday night's Primetime Emmy Awards were one of those rare extravagant award shows that actually ended on time, but being punctual appeared to come at the expense of a Foo Fighters performance. During a run-in with TMZ, Dave Grohl revealed he didn't attend the Primetime Emmy ceremony because we were supposed to play on the Emmys, and we were going to play on the Emmys, and then they kicked us off. In a statement to Rolling Stone, the Foo Fighters confirmed that they were approached by the Television Academy and agreed to play Sonic Highways track at the ceremony. But Fox ultimately nixed the band's performance. The band and the Academy were extremely happy and excited to have the Foo Fighters play the first ever rock band on the Emmys. Fox then refused to allow the band to play a full song from the Emmy-winning Sonic Highways. The band said, that is why the band decided not to perform. That's not what you just said. Dave Grohl told TMZ that we were going to perform. They canceled us, so we're not going. That's not canceling you. That's telling you you're going to play an abbreviated song. And that's what award shows do. When the award show contacts you and says, hey, you want to play the Emmys? You should say, hey, as long as I'm not playing a shorter version of my hit. That's all you got to say. Then you would have known that you weren't doing that. Representatives for the Emmys and Fox were not immediately available for comment. What does that mean, not immediately available? This has been published. Like, so you hit publish on this at 8 o'clock in the morning and then you just forgot about it? News is steady updating. Sonic Highways picked up a pair of Creative Arts Emmy Awards. September 12th in Los Angeles, scooping up trophies in the Outstanding Sound Editing for Nonfiction Programming and Outstanding Sound Mixing for Nonfiction Programming categories. In both cases, the HBO docuseries Seattle episode was honored. Sonic Highways was nominated for 4 Emmys in total, but lost Outstanding Informational Series or Special to Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. And lost to Outstanding Directing for a Nonfiction Programming Emmy to Scientology documentary Going Clear. Damn. You know what else happened at the Emmys? Jonathan Banks of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul was absolutely robbed with a ski mask and gloves of his Supporting Actor Emmy Award. Peter Dinklage is going to have plenty of time to win Emmys. He's won Emmys before. He'll win Emmys again. We don't need to give him every award. We get it that everybody watches Game of Thrones. Everybody watches Game of Thrones. We get it. They don't need to win every award. Not every single one. All right, now this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I was just talking about Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift. So Father John Misty has covered Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift. In other news, I'm going to cover Father John Misty covering Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift. Crazy. We got a new Kurt Vile record streaming on September 25th. Kurt Vile will release his new album, Believe I'm Going Down, through Matador Records. In anticipation, the LP is streaming in its entirety via the Minneapolis radio station, The Current. The 12-track effort follows 2013. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I don't know why I can't read, but if I'm going to get a job with the Board of Education that I'm trying to do, I'm going to need to learn how to read. The 12-track effort follows 2013's excellent Waking on a Pretty Days and was recorded in studios in Brooklyn, Los Angeles, and Athens. The Violators leader even spent time at Joshua Tree's Rancho de la Luna, the famed desert studio used by the Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, and Queens of the Stone Age, where he recorded what he considers his best song ever, Wheelhouse. The only band I knew that recorded at Joshua Tree was the Queens of the Stone Age. His Rancho de Luna session also included time spent jamming with Mali Blues Collective, Tin Arwin, and Warpaint drummer Stella Mosgawa. According to Vile, Believe I'm Going Down represents his darkest album to date, explaining it's definitely got that night vibe. In a recent interview, he elaborated. I think if you listen to the record, all of the songs have a night vibe. I've always been a night person. It's usually when I write music. During the day, everyone's waiting on you to deliver, and I have nervous energy. And I also feel like I'm tired during the day. So once it gets dark, I'm wide awake, and those are the hours we work too. I guess I've always been a night person, but maybe with this record, it reached an extreme because we didn't have an official producer with us to be like, dude, we can't go until 7 in the morning. It's like a domino effect. You have to sleep in later and later, and next thing you know, you're up later and later. And I will share the link with you where you can stream this via The Current. And I wanted to get to this before I moved on to stupid things. Scientists can now make THC from yeast. That's right, folks. THC, the part in marijuana that gets you high, can now be made from yeast. Yeast is an incredible organism. You can thank it for booze. And that's just the marvels of modern generics. We've made it incredibly versatile. Just a month after announcing a method for hacking yeast to produce narcotics, I gotta look that article up. I didn't see that. Researchers just announced that the creation of yeast that produces THC and cannabinoids. You're probably thinking that this will yield a whole new industry of beer that will get you high, but the scientists focus much more scientific. The THC-producing yeast could prove integral to developing more clinical applications for the compounds. The pharmaceutical industry is eager to get its hands on a more efficient method for synthesizing yeast for drug research. After all, the fact that cannabis is the best producer of these chemicals remains illegal in many parts of the world. There is something that could literally change the lives of millions of people. Kevin Chen, chief executive of the Hanasynth Bio, told the New York Times, the newly engineered yeast could not only enable scientists to produce THC and cannabidiol more easily, but also help them understand how the compounds work. There's still work to be done, though. Researchers have been working on synthesizing THC for years, and the latest breakthrough involves yeast that use a precursor molecules to produce small amounts of the chemicals. Ideally, they'd use simple sugars as bioengineers, and already done with opiate-producing yeast strains. Inevitably, scientists say the real challenge is to come up with a method that works better for cannabis than plants themselves. Right now, we have a plant that's essentially the Ferrari of the plant world when it comes to producing the chemical of interest. Cannabis is hard to beat. Truer words have never been spoken. So now they can make THC from yeast. And breaking news, just coming across the desk, bread is now illegal. That's right, bread has now been made illegal. Think of the children, you're going to have that bread? You're going to eat that bread? That could be made into THC. That might open up your mind and enlighten you to things that you wouldn't have ever thought before. Think of the children. Yeah, we can make science. I love science. We can make THC from yeast. If that is the case, you can't publish articles about it because they're going to make it illegal. They will. Soon enough, you're not going to be able to buy a bagel. You're going to go into the store. Can I have a bagel? No. Why? Think of the children. Can I have a croissant? No. Why? Because America's got an addiction problem. That's why. Huh? I know what you want to do with that bread. You want to make THC from it. We're all over that. Meanwhile, the first sentence of this, there's a method for hacking yeast to produce narcotics? Word up! Where is that? I have to click on that now. Scientists have hacked yeast to produce narcotics. Wow. Yeah, yeast. That magical microorganism that provideth beer and bread can now make narcotics. In a much-anticipated update, a team of scientists from Stanford University has engineered a strain of common brewer's yeast to turn simple sugars into opioid drugs. It's great. Yeast has proven itself time and time again as a valuable asset to the biotech industry because it'll happily take up new genes and split out useful products. We've turned yeast cells into factories for all sorts of valuable chemicals, from antibiotics to cosmic ingredients. There's a new yeast strain described Thursday in Science magazine would need to be 100,000 times as efficient to match the drug yields of opium poppies. Put another way, it would take 4,400 gallons of yeast to produce the small amount of hydrocodone in a single Vicodin tablet. At the moment, anyone looking to make illegal opioids could buy some poppy seeds from the grocery store and get higher concentrations. Okay, but the possibility to make drugs from bread is true. And I love science. Don't you love science? I love science. How great is that? Shit is going. And the other night, during the GOP debate, there was Ween news. John and Peter's in New Hope, one of the greatest venues I've ever been to, New Hope, Pennsylvania. Somebody tweeted that Ween are getting back together. Aaron is in the house. Dean is in the house. And they get back together tonight. That didn't happen. But what did happen was Harry Waters, son of Roger, is the new keyboard player in the Dean Ween group. If you need more rock and roll history for you. Aaron Freeman, artist formerly known as Gene Ween. I don't know where he's at. I can't speak for if Ween will get back together. I wish they would. Trey Anastasio wishes they would. So we're still waiting on Ween. So they did not get back together, as reported on the Twitter. Even though the reports seemed solid. Man. Anyway, what else is going on, guys? The Dead Weather have new music video for Cop and Go. See, their album is called Dodge and Burn. This new song is called Cop and Go. The band won't be touring behind this album due to various other commitments. Cop and Go. Check that out on Any Quiet Streaming right now. All right. I'm thinking it's time to be lame for a couple of minutes. Last night, Well, first of all, let me say that I'm lame, and I told you guys what I was going to do after the WWE pay-per-view every month. So let's just get it going with the "You're So Lame" section of the podcast.
It's true. It's true. We're so lame.
That's exactly right, homo. We are lame. All right. Last night we held... I didn't hold anything. Last night was WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view. And I'm just going to go over a quick recap of things that I took out of that I felt were important. Now, let me... If you guys are wondering why I'm doing this, I will explain. April 1st, or back in March or April, whenever WrestleMania was, I tuned into WrestleMania and DX and the NWO came out and I got interested. So I kept watching. Then a couple of weeks later, I saw asshole, the guy who ruined wrestling and rap music, John Cena, in the ring, and I saw him get powerbombed by some dude who wasn't having it. Some dude named Kevin Owens. That guy became my hero. So I started watching it since Owens' debut. Anyway, so every month they have a pay-per-view. I figured I'd talk about it since somebody emailed me about it. Figured I'd bring it up. Sting got hurt. The icon, Sting, in his third ever match in WWE, suffered a legitimate, significant back injury and probably won't wrestle again. He's 56 years old. During the match, he took... The main event was Seth Rollins' Sting for the WWE title. Now, let me say this. Sting took some bumps. Sting went up on the top rope, hit him with a crossbody, and had the fans chanting, "Holy shit, this dude is 56 years old." I know 56 isn't old, like, compared to walking around like a person, but this dude was wrestling in the ring at 56 years old. And he still had it. And he definitely did. And then he went through a table. Then he went through the Spanish announce table. See, that's a bump that WCW guys never took before. There's no Spanish announce table on Nitro. So he takes the bump to, through the table. Gets back in the ring. And there's a point where Rollins says... These days, the rings have so many microphones that you can, if the wrestlers are talking, because sometimes they call it in the ring. Like, if a spot gets messed up, the guys will call it in the ring. So, sometimes you'll hear it. So, I heard Rollins say to Sting, "Watch my arm." And he ducks the clothesline and collapses. And they had the fucking ringside doctor in the ring. Damn. Poor Sting. Rollins was going over anyway, but... I read on WrestleZone.com that they called an early finish and Rollins rolled him up for the 1-2-3 to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Not after he lost his United States title to John Cena. Me personally, I like the United States title being on John Cena. I think it not only elevates the title, but it keeps John Cena away from the World Heavyweight title. I can't stand that guy, and I don't want a main event in any fucking pay-per-views anytime soon. So, John Cena winning the U.S. title from Seth Rollins, even though I'm down with the Rollins and the authority, give it to Cena. Let Cena have it. Let him defend it in the U.S. Open Challenge every week. Who cares? Like, it's just anything to keep John Cena away from the main event. Divas Revolution, Ric Flair's daughter wins the Divas Championship. I am so ready to hop on board this revolution as soon as we stop calling them divas. I'm going to say it every time. Women can have a revolution. Divas have a reality show. It's demeaning to women to have Ric Flair's daughter. You have Charlotte Flair. She's from Space Mountain. She has to hold over her shoulder a fucking ridiculous purple butterfly? And we're supposed to... That's a revolution? What's the... Are they going to put Margaret Thatcher on the Divas title? something that makes no sense. There was nothing wrong with calling it the women's title. There was nothing wrong with that belt. It makes zero, maybe, I don't, they split the women's title, the women's and the divas title, when they had the two separate shows and the two separate rosters. And they probably had way more divas than that. They've got 9 divas now. They don't need 2 belts. They don't have 2 belts. They only have 1. And it's the purple butterfly that couldn't be more demeaning to women. Well, I don't know. I'm not a woman. If a woman wants to email me and tell me what would be more demeaning, I'll agree. New Day? Did you guys fucking... Listen, I'm going to explain to you what getting over means. When you debut in a wrestling promotion, you try to get over with the fans. Now, to get over with the fans, to get your desired reaction from the fans. If you're a bad guy, you want them to boo you. If you're a good guy, you want them to cheer you. Now, a couple of months ago, I remember looking at the screen saying, what the fuck is Kofi Kingston doing with these idiots, Xavier Woods and Big E, as the New Day? That was months ago. Week in, week out. New Day? They play the trumpet. Save the tables. So the Dudleys came back. The Dudley boys came back to WWE the night after SummerSlam. And immediately, the New Day have a hashtag going, save the tables. The Dudleys are table poachers. They don't respect furniture. It's just some of the funniest shit I've ever heard. You got Xavier Woods playing a trumpet at ringside. You got him saying tricep meat. Some of the funniest shit comes out of this guy's mouth. These guys are fucking funny. That's what getting over is. So now that the New Day are over, they beat the... Well, they didn't beat the Dudleys at Night of Champions, but they retained their tag titles at Night of Champions. With the assist from Xavier Woods after the 3D. Because the New Day do the Freebird thing where they have the third guy over there. So you got 3 guys on a tag team. And 2 of them at any point can be in the match. So before the match, you decide which guy isn't in the match. That third guy is still around the ring. It's just a matter of time when he's going to interfere. That's the Freebird thing. That's like having China out there. If China's out there... You know she's interfering. It's just a matter of when. So the New Day retained. They're probably going to... No, you know what they're going to do? I was going to say they're going to head into Hell in a Cell with the Dudleys. But WWE Network is hyping up... A week from Saturday, they're hyping up a live show at Madison Square Garden to be broadcast on the WWE Network. And that's supposed to... Not a pay-per-view, but that's the next big event. So that they're pushing that because they want that to... I think the idea is to broadcast the live events, like, all the time. I think they should do that every day. If the WWE superstars are on the road 300 days a year, then have a camera 300 days a year. Fuck it. Have it live on the WWE Network. I will say it again. The WWE Network pays for itself in original programming. Better than Netflix. I'm binge watching Raw. Again? Well, not again. I'm binge watching Raw from the beginning. I made it up to 1997. This is fucking awesome. I mean, I just can't express how awesome it is. So the tag team division is heating up with Dudley's New Day. New Day? They are so fucking funny. And, the Ziggler-Rusev beef needs to end because nobody cares about it. It's soap opera-ness, and Lana's getting her wrist fixed, so she's not here. It's a throwaway match. Nobody pins Rusev, so of course he gets the... The people who have pinned Rusev is John Cena and Cesaro, so... And I think Brock Lesnar, maybe. The point is that when Rusev loses... Clean. When Rusev loses not by DQ, it's a big deal. So when Summer Rae threw the fucking shoe at him, And Dolph Ziggler won. Cool. Knew that was happening. Doesn't elevate Ziggler much. I like Dolph Ziggler. I just don't know what... I mean, he's been a champion already. So I don't know what... That's the problem with this company. The problem with this company is that everybody has been a WWE champion. And the reason that is because once a year, they hang a suitcase above a ladder and they say, hey, go get it. And then you can just cash in at any time. Sheamus almost cashed in on Seth Rollins. But Masked Kane showed up? I mean, listen, I think Masked Kane is cool. Or Demon Kane, as they call it. I guess it's Demon Kane and Corporate Kane. The thing about that is, as cool as it was, it couldn't have made less sense. Couldn't have made less sense. Last month, at SummerSlam, you had Undertaker in the main event. Kane is his storyline brother. Perfect opportunity for Kane to interfere there. Kane comes in after the match and chokeslams fucking Seth Rollins for what reason? And then he comes back the next night and he's in the suit pretending it didn't happen. That's fucking weird. And then, and by the way, Glenn Jacobs is awesome for, like, being able to pull that off. Glenn Jacobs can play crazy. Most guys can't do that. Like Brian Pillman. Remember Brian Pillman? Paul Heyman says Brian Pillman is either crazy or really great at pretending he's crazy. And of course, my highlight of the night kicked off the night. And that was my man, Kevin Owens, leaving with the Intercontinental Championship, beating Ryback. Not clean, beat him dirty, because he's a heel, and that's what heels do. See, when you're a good guy, you do your finishing move, and you pin the guy. When you're a bad guy, you rake the eyes and pin him. And there is nothing wrong with that, ring psychology-wise. That's how bad guys are supposed to win. They ask Kevin Owens, do you wanna be the Intercontinental Champion and think about all the greats? He's like, I don't care who's had this belt in the past. I care about money and gold. That is a perfect heel. The guy has the ability to be a top heel for the next 10 years. If they use him right. If they don't get mad that he's fat. He's not fat. He's just not thin. He's what a wrestler looks like, as Michael Cole said. And I bet you Vince McMahon was in Michael Cole's ear. Don't you dare say wrestler again. It's superstar. So overall, Night of Champions was a... was a satisfactory pay-per-view. Also, I'm sorry about that. There was another match at Night of Champions. It was Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and a mystery partner against the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family is Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and they have Braun Strowman, who is like 6'8", 370. This dude is a fucking monster. So Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose's mystery partner was Chris Jericho. And it was cool. I was like, yeah, Chris Jericho's coming out. But the guy Braun Strowman is huge, so it didn't make any sense. But it was cool to have Chris Jericho back. And they were chanting, you still got it. Yeah, he's one of the guys that retired not being injured. He retired to do a podcast and tour with Fozzy. He didn't retire because his neck, you know, his back or anything. He still got it, and he can come at any time and take that title if he wants to. You know, if he wants to jump in a storyline, he could. And as expected, Sting was not on Monday Night's Raw, as his injury is significant. I feel bad. I really wanted to see Sting win the title. And Sting looked good. And for all the people saying that Rollins broke Cena's nose and he broke Sting's back, that's not accurate. That's two different things. If Sting's back was hurt on the turnbuckle powerbomb, that's something they went over. It's not like they said, it's not like Rollins is like, I'll surprise him when I get out there. See, I mentioned before calling it in the ring. Rollins said, watch my arm. It's not like these guys have worked together. Like, I heard Shawn Michaels telling a story, and he said that him and Scott Hall used to get in the ring, and they used to be like, Chicago, let's do that. Nebraska, we'll do that. And they didn't have to talk. They just, when you work that much with each other, you know what the other one's doing. Not the case with Sting. Not the case. So, for him to get hurt, that's not Rollins' fault. Yeah, it was Rollins' fault breaking Cena's nose. That was cool, but in reality, doesn't make him a good wrestler, like Bret Hart said. He'll be a great wrestler if he doesn't do that. If he doesn't keep hurting people. Now, I know that the Excellence of Execution has never botched a move in the history of his career, but how many times can you bury Triple H? I mean, come on. Why did the internet hate Triple H, man? I don't understand it. Maybe when I was a kid, like, I always was a fan of Triple H, so I don't see the burying that he does, that people say he does. I mean, all those people that say that Triple H has this power, I mean, Vince was always listening to ideas. You could have always went up to Vince in the 90s and gave him ideas. Problem was, the only people that wanted to go up to him was Nash, Hall, Kidd, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. And is Stephanie McMahon not hot? Well, I mean, if I'm a wrestler, if I'm Triple H, am I not supposed to marry her? She is hot. And she's loaded. And, her dad owns the company I work for. I mean, was he supposed to not do that? That's just ridiculous to me. Whatever. That's the end of our You're So Lame portion of the podcast. I'm sorry. All right, before we get up out of here, I'm going to give you the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's for all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. There's a new review up now. It is In This Moment and Papa Roach. They're at Five Finger Death Punch's Got Your Six tour, and they stopped by the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario, California. Check it out at ConcertConfessions.com. Also, Hang the DJ, ChristinaRocks.com, 89xRadio.com, every Sunday morning, Throwback Thursday, only it's on Sunday, every Sunday, 89xRadio.com, Christina Rocks. Christina is spelled with no H. She is the coolest cucumber in the salad. Keep it locked. AndyDearer.com is headquarters. That's where you'll get me and an assortment of other things. I'll be honest with you. Andy's doing so much stuff. I mean, I can't even keep up. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So you guys just got to go to HQ. Go to AndyDearer.com. Check it out. AndyDearer.com. And of course, every week, folks, the headlines. They be powered by AntiQuiet. Until next week. Whiskey, weed, and Warren Zevon. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.